the name of the Father, and of the Son,
and of the Holy Ghost.
Today,
we come to Holy Sunday.
We have two Holy Sundays of the year, in the middle of the two penitential seasons,
the middle of Advent and the middle of Lent.
And these are often referred to as Refreshment Sundays. It's when, especially in the olden days, when the keeping of Lent was very severe, it was a lifting of some of the restrictions to have some balance before we enter the serious time of Passion Time. Remember that Lent is divided roughly into two parts. The first half concentrates on our Lord's interior suffering, the temptation in the wilderness, his struggle with some of the disciples, the authorities. And the second half, leading Passion Time, leading into Holy Week, return to the physical, literal suffering of Jesus. So the coming couple of weeks, coming days, will be the most difficult, most severe, most holy day of the year. And Rose Sunday is the Sunday of refreshment between the two ends. It is a beautiful gift by Mother Church to get balance for our lives. The beautiful balance throughout the Christian year of fast days, feast days, days of penitence, days of celebration. And so this is the day that we prepare ourselves for the very serious days ahead.
Did you ever swim as a kid in the pool and hold your breath?
What did you do before you hopped in? You breathe. Well, that's what today is for. Today is refreshment day. If we are meant to start enjoy today, a little respite before the serious time of Passion Time. In England, they have a beautiful tradition. This is often referred to as Mothering Sunday. This is the day one would visit one's mother, or the grave of one's mother, or visit the cathedral, the mother of the mother church, the church you grew up in. Almost every day, every day of the week, someone comes to this church because they were married there, the grandparents were married, they were a boy, the boy part when they were a kid. They return, they come back to the church, and how beautiful that is. And so that's all these beautiful things for Rose Sunday. We also have flowers, roses on the altar. We do away with the penitential color of purple. That's also the color that priests wear to hear confession. And we have the pink. We have the rose. And so there we are. And we have the sweet story. Before the very difficult stories of our Lord's suffering, today we have the sweet story of the prodigal son. One of the familiar and beloved stories of the Bible. You know, these stories are written 2,000 years ago, and so many of them we need to have a history book and a dictionary, because it's important to know the context, lest we misinterpret them and misunderstand them. But some of them seem to just preach themselves all these centuries, but we still get the gist. And today is one of those stories. If you never knew any context and read the story of the prodigal son, you would get its meaning. Beautiful story of two boys, two sons, and the younger one, the prodigal. Prodigal means the lavish spending of money. He goes to his father, he demands and asks for a hidden part of the inheritance. We're not led to believe that this was a bad man. I think it was a young man, probably self-absorbed, give me the portion that is coming to me. Maybe he wanted some freedom. He was, he had had it with the boy life of the duties and responsibilities of family and farm life. There's a world out there perhaps he wanted to see. Many young people have that wonderful ambition. And yet sometimes they don't realize what freedom is. I love to tell, I'm sorry, the boys aren't here today in boys choir, but this story really is for them and for young people. But I love the story of the fish in the water. A fish lives in water. Why? Because a fish is made to live in water, and it kills and splits scales. But suppose a fish, though, had free will. Suppose a fish is swimming in the freedom of the limits of water, living and thriving and having his fishness. He says to himself, "Self, I want to be free. There's a world out there of land and trees and air. I will live there." And he jumped out the roof to go climb a tree. What happened? He began to suffocate, get ill. He wasn't made for the air. He was made for the limitation, the rules of the sea. So he jumped back in to become free again. He came to his senses.
We're made in the image of God. We're made to live to the Ten Commandments. We're made to live outside ourselves for the greater good of other people, even in sacrifice. We're made to live lives of discipline, because that's the way we're created. And in those rules, in those commandments, in that discipline, we're free. We are free to live, to have our life. But the young man didn't realize he hadn't heard this sermon. And he takes his money and he goes to a distant country. I love it. He blows it and rents it. That's the loose living. And then a famine strikes once he's lost his money. And he connects with his sister and he goes to feed the swine for a Jewish boy. That would be hitting rock bottom. And a beautiful image comes up, a beautiful line. He came to himself. All of us have had those moments when we come to ourselves. Hope that not all of us get rock bottom. But sometimes it is. He came to himself and he realized, at least I would have food. If I could just be, I'm not worthy to be my father's son again. If I could go back, I'd be living as a servant. So he made a resolve to return. There's a big theme of today, to return and go back. As I mentioned in the last week's sermon, that's the very definition of repentance. The name gets a bad rap, but all repentance means is we turn, we walk in another direction. He came to himself and returned, and wanted to return to his father. And were his mother's myths? Of course. Whose aren't? He wanted food, too. But just because his motives were mixed, it doesn't mean that the authentic and genuine part of his motives were any less genuine. So we return. He came home. I grew up with a gospel hymn. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to say it. But I loved it. I loved this when I was a little boy. And it just encapsulated what the boy was doing in the story. I have returned to the God of my childhood, to the same simple faith as the child I once knew. Like the prodigal son, I long for my loved ones, for the comforts of home. And the God I outgrew, I love that. I have returned to the God of my mother with unfailing faith for a child of her heart. She said, bring them up the way that you want them. And then when they're grown, they'll never depart. I have returned to the God of my father. I returned to Yahweh, the Jew. He returned home. And then the story even gets better. He comes home and his father is at the door, as you know, the father. And what is a parable? An ancient form of storytelling that gets the point across, that makes us want to scratch our heads and wrestle with the meaning. The father, in light representing God, sees the son at a distance, and he runs to meet him. No doubt compromising his dignity to run with his clothes flapping in the air to meet the son. And the son couldn't even get through his prepared statement of repentance. I'm not worthy to call your son. The father stopped him and just embraced him and placed the symbols of privilege, authority, love, a ring, a robe. He killed the fatted calf for celebration and then received his son unconditionally. If you know what that is, we all know what that is. Because that's what baptism is all about. We will all receive the unconditional love of God. That father ran to meet us at our baptism. And then the next part of the story, which is just as important, they're having a party. And the older son comes and hears the music and is angry. And the beautiful part is the father does for the older son what he did for the younger son. He went out to meet his older son. And he pleaded with the older son. He couldn't command it. He had no authority. But no, he pleaded. And the older son was angry. He said, I have been a slave to you. I've never disobeyed you. I've worked day and night for you. And you never gave such a celebration for me. And the father wooed him and said, all that I have now is yours. And what the son didn't realize is there's an intrinsic value in the life well lived. He had that value. But he wasn't listening. He would not go in. Now, maybe it's just because I want a happy ending somehow. But the father, I picture though, it's a fictional story, so I can make up an ending. The father goes back in, and sometimes it takes longer for others to come to himself, doesn't it? I kind of picture that young boy thinking in the field in his anger, but coming to himself. And maybe a couple of hours later, the door opens, and there's the older brother. Who knows? But what is the story for you and for me? In the season of Lent, none of us are probably
in the dramatic state of younger son. We're not spending a lot of testament living. But yet, there are parts of our lives that probably need tweaking. We neglected some things. We might have a relationship with a substance, a human being, a job, a church, or whatever. It needs changing some. We probably need to go a slightly different direction if we want to really, truly not waste a moment of this one-way ticket of life to the glory of God. And so we have a season of Lent to quiet things down, to look in the mirror, say, is there anything that's keeping me from being the son and daughter that I might become? And so we do these things. And we start and we repent. And so we make a check and we return to the love that we had at first. And the beautiful thing is, it might seem, as I said, the first thing at Lent, meager and meek and trite, these things we do. But God blesses them. He runs to meet them. My little boy, my grandmother tried to help me save him. And she said, when you send me a dollar, I'll match it to your savings account. And she did. And multiply that billions of times, these little trinkets that we offer to give up chocolate, to try to read more Bible, to try to walk in a way. God just blesses, and the grace of God bathes us such that we are new people by the end of Lent. We celebrate Easter in a different way. So blessed be both of those sons, and blessed be all of us who are at one time or another better. Blessed be Lent Sunday.